Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Andrew Lees, and I'm joined with my co-host, Clint McPherson. What's up, brother?
Not much, man. Just keeping this thing rolling, keeping the energy going, keeping the, you know, I guess, what is it? The flow, right? The flow for our episodes is just, this is like episode 40, 50, 60, who knows,
man. We're in the 60s now. Yeah.
We're killing it, right? It has. And we've recorded so many so far that we're ahead of what where we thought we would be in. So that's pretty awesome. And with that said, man, to continue this momentum, let's go ahead and kick this thing off by welcoming our special guest, Frederick Kiyomi, up to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely, Frederick. It's awesome to have you on the show today. Before we get into our questions, can you just tell us who you are, you know, kind of give our audience a little overview of who you are and what you're all about?
Okay, I am an author and a creative entrepreneur. I call myself a creative entrepreneur. I've written 11 books, all published under my imprint, Kiyomi Publishing. I also founded an online learning platform called The Creative School. And yeah, that's me in a nutshell, basically.
Awesome. Yeah, we're definitely going to want to dig into some of that stuff. Very, very cool things that you're working on and or that you have worked on and that you are working on. So very interested to learn more about that.
Yeah, man. So Frederick, as an author, like you just mentioned, a coach and creative entrepreneur. I love that. I love you. You dubbed yourself the creative entrepreneur. I like that. I mean, I think it fits in when you have creativity inside you and inside of all of us as entrepreneurs or just individuals. But can you take us back to when your entrepreneurial journey started and what it is about entrepreneurship that you're actually excited about?
Well, my entrepreneurship journey started in July last year. So I just give you like a quick history. Both my parents are entrepreneurs. So I always kind of grown up in that mindset, I guess. But I didn't really see that for myself growing up. I thought I'd be more conventional. But last year, my career kind of, you know, went left. I was in an internship and things weren't going well and just everything just went left. So that's when I decided to take a chance on myself and really just go for it. So that's really how my journey started. Yeah.
That's very cool. Yeah. And how has it been going? Were there some things that you didn't, you know, expect that you've kind of run into, or have things kind of been going according to plan for the most part?
Oh no, it's been crazy. Honestly, it's been a really, you know, steep learning curve. It's just, you're constantly learning so many things all the time. And you'll actually be amazed by what you don't know. Because, you know, you think that you know something, you know, I know what I'm doing and everything's going great. And then you're swiftly reminded that you actually, in fact, know nothing. And
yeah, you know, exactly.
It's really amazing just what's out there in the world. So I think I would say it's a state of constantly learning.
I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. So you founded a publishing company called Kiyomi or Kiyoma Group. How did that come about and how did you get into writing in the first place?
Well, I've always loved books. Growing up, when I was like on holiday from school, my dad would always ask me, he'd come home and ask me, okay, what did you read today? And when I was about 11, he gave me these old encyclopedias from like the 1950s that he grew up with as a kid. And he made me read them back to front. So I've always really loved books. And when I did my university degree, I did my honors degree in English. So I've always just had that love for books. And Kyomiya Publishing came about after I wrote my first novel. I was rejected left, right, and center. I got rejected, I think, 44 times. And so after that, I just decided to start my own publishing, my own publishing company so I can get my work out there.
I like that, man. And I like how I think what we're lacking here in the States growing up, and I can't speak for all families, but I can speak for a lot of them that, you know, obviously I'm an educated individual, went to college, but I don't know if we have enough individuals that where their father or mother ask them what they read today, right? Outside of what I do with my kid, him being going through his school journey right now, being in elementary school. It's one of those things that, you know, I can tell he has a passion for reading, which I never had growing up because it was always in a sport. And it was never, what did you read today? It was all like, what have you accomplished? How many swings have you taken? How many, you know, laps have you ran? What it was more geared towards sport and something that wouldn't, I mean, it's not that it couldn't benefit me later on, but it's not, that's not as powerful unless you have a predetermined journey that you're going to make it pro. You were the person that, you know, you were chosen, but at the end of the day, reading is so powerful. And I didn't learn that until college, right? I mean, and just going through that and trying to challenge yourself, because it's hard to stay consistent. It's hard to sit down there if you don't have the habits when you're younger to even have fun reading for some people. And so I love that you had a father that asked you and was like, what did you read today, man? What did you learn? You know, how much did you accomplish? And I love that.
Yeah. Also, I wasn't very athletic as a child, so I was always just kind of reading. So I definitely wasn't going to ask, you know, how many swings I had, because I was completely useless when it came to sports. Yeah, there we were.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never loved reading. Like really getting into books is difficult for me, but I do read a lot of like informative type stuff. And the way that I think I have kind of a short attention span when it comes to reading, and you know, if I pick up a book, I'll get like, there's actually, I have read a few books cover to cover, recently, which is, took me a little while. Yeah. Yeah. But the way that information is consumed now is kind of tailored more towards, people with short attention spans, like myself. And, so it, you know, at least to consume reading in a short attention span kind of way. So I think it's good. I think when you need to know some, you need to learn some information, you can go out there and you can get just what you need. And it's very easy to search, whether you're going to read it, whether you're going to watch it on YouTube or whatever. So that's really nice. And I think, that the way that, the internet is now is, lends itself well to you starting your publishing company. Right. Because there's never been a better time, an easier time to reach people, or because it's not easy that, but you know, there's never been a time when you can, like 50 years ago, you couldn't start a publishing company the way that you can now. You know, I mean, you're talking about like an enormous investment. You were talking about printing and distribution of a physical thing. Now it's, I mean, it's really powerful how you can start something like that and grow it and scale it without requiring this massive upfront investment. So I think it's a good time for you to do that.
Definitely. I'm very thankful to be Actually, I always think to myself, you know, what a time to be alive. This, you know, had I been alive 50 years ago, this would have been really very, very difficult. I think nearly impossible to do. And yeah, I think that's the great thing about the internet is it's just made things so much more accessible and so much more democratic, I guess, in that way. So it's leveled the playing field a lot.
Oh, for sure. I would agree with that 100%. I think technology, the way it advanced, has advanced and will continue to advance. Like Andrew said, there has been no easier time, but no better time at the same time, right? It's one of those, it's crazy because even the smaller, the mom and pop stores, the mom and pop small businesses, the publishers, you know, publishing companies that you can do right now. There's so many things you can do with technology digitally, right? Just because you're a publishing company doesn't mean you have to actually publish or print an actual copy of it, right? There's digital formats of everything. And that's really where it's at. A lot of people are on the go. I mean, I really like having, at the end of the day, if I'm interested in a topic or a book, like I want to have a hard copy of it. That's one of the things I struggle with is I do struggle with sitting down and reading something, especially if it's on the computer, like unless it's like a 1 minute, 4 minute read, whatever, I can knock that out. But if you're telling me to read chapter books from the actual internet and I'm bringing it up and flipping through pages and like, I have no idea where I left off. I mean, I guess you can bookmark, I don't know, but it just seems like it's more of a pain in the butt to go back and pick something up and even click on it digitally and be like, okay, I left off on chapter 4. Let me go back and start reading, you know, and I like having it to where you can just flip right back to it. You can highlight it yourself, right? You can sit there and be like, okay, write some notes, something that really impacts you, something that you can take away from it. And then just being able to read it and go back to it when you're in a conversation with somebody and they remind you of it. It's so powerful to go back and pick that piece of that book back up, right? That actual physical product and look at it and be like, man, dude, we were just talking about this today. And it's crazy how a lot of the times the things you've read or things you've just talked about come into conversation or come into play when you're interviewing or talking to somebody, and how things that really shows me things are meant to happen and meant to be what they are, because of how crazy of a small world and just in general, how everything just comes up in discussion and it's mind blowing sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I do agree with you, you know, about the whole print being easier than, okay, I shouldn't say this because I make my living off digital books, but yeah. But yeah, I do also have a soft spot for print books and being able to touch the page and being able to, you know, turn the pages. So I do understand when people say like, oh, you know, like I can't deal with digital. And when I was writing my own books, I tried to make them shorter than, you know, typical books. And so, you know, then the plus side, my books are like much shorter and much more digestible. I really didn't want it to be like long-winded and complicated where people just felt like I can't deal with this. So I really had to kind of think and take all those concerns and keep them in mind when I was creating.
For sure. I really think when you look back at books, though, I mean, I really like the approach of having it come in and doing like more bite-sized information, easier to digest for individuals, you know, a short read, something that's straight to the point. Because realistically, man, when you look at all these books that have tons of pages, that have whatever, I mean, how much of those books are fluff? I mean, let's get real when we talk about that. Like 80 to maybe 90% of a book, a 300-page book, man, come on. You're telling me that you can't get your point across within a sooner? And I know it's more relatable when you like are putting stories in there and you're helping people relate to what you're trying to put down. But I mean, realistically, man, a good book, you're going to have about
10% of information that you can actually take away and move forward with, and like 90% is fluff. So I really like the approach of having more bite-sized, more powerful content, you know, just generated in that way.
Yeah, definitely. I do agree with you about the fluff bit of it. I think we're in a point in time where a lot of people are just really tired of fluff.
Because
we have like BS really. And we just have so much information coming at us all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't know what's true, what's not true, I think you get very overwhelmed, I think. We're living in an age of information overwhelm. So I think that also will put a lot of people off from reading like 500 page books or that sort of thing.
So, I mean, with that said, man, your work primarily, you know, centers around topics such as creative thinking, hence the creative entrepreneur, which again, I love that. But as we all know, that can be difficult to achieve sometimes, being creative, just writing anything is difficult in a lot of ways, right? Trying to come up with additional content. How do you find creativity on demand? And how do you do that on a consistent basis?
Well, I think, you know, because like I said, when I was, you know, my journey has been started from a very challenging place. So I really had to be very resourceful and very strategic with how I moved and how I did things. And I think that's really what helped me get to this point in my career. So I think that's where that kind of creativity on demand kind of came from, because I really kind of had no choice but to really figure it out and get creative, because there was really a point where like things had really gone left. I really was in that position where I had to figure it out and I had no other alternative.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes that's when your creativity really kind of, when you're put up your back against the wall, that's when everything gets heightened, right? So you're creative. If you have to be creative, you don't have another choice. Can't wait for it to happen tomorrow. You're going to be at least as creative as possible, right? So you're going to kind of, I think sometimes it's difficult when, to force that when, like, I know that for me, when I'm sort of, I've got a ton of things to do, and I'm trying to be creative for a project that I'm working on, but I know that I just am thinking the whole time I'm working on that, I'm thinking about the 10 other things that I also have to do. And so for me to be creative is really difficult, because I'm just like, man, there's people waiting on invoices, which is how I get paid. I've got to send quotes, which is, you know, how I get projects and then how I get paid, you know, or I have to write content because I need to attract more clients. And that's, you know, all these things where I'm like, man, I've got so many other things to do. Working on like a product design seems like the last thing I can even think about. And so it's difficult to be creative sometimes, you know, in those scenarios. So, when your back's up against the wall, and it's especially if you can focus on it, you know, if you're like, if you're like, all I'm going to do for the next day or two is write, then it kind of clears out the rest of the stuff that you have going on and really, really allows you to dive in and sort of have fun and enjoy the process as much as possible.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think, you know, we often think of creativity as creating, you know, creating art, creating music, creating books. But it's also an essential part of problem solving. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
when it comes to solving problems, you have to be resourceful and look at what's around you and how you can put that together to get you out of a tough situation. So
mm-hmm.
I think oftentimes we use creativity without even realizing it.
Yeah. It, even just getting through a few tasks in the day, you know, it's like, all right, I've got 5 things to do from 8 to 10. I'm not sure how I'm going to do them. So let me sort of, you know, sometimes it does take a little creativity to work everything through and be as efficient as you possibly can. So I definitely agree with that. I like that. I think that's probably how most of us use creativity. You know, we're not, most of us aren't artists. Most of us aren't designers or, you know, anything like that. So, but we're all using creativity in some way. And it, you know, I think yeah.
Well, I would say we're all creative to an extent. I mean, we all have that artistic, we do all have an artistic ability because the way our minds think. I mean, when you're a kid, I'm sure you drew pictures. I'm sure you colored. I mean, it might not have been Vincent van Gogh, you know, quality or something like that. But at the end of the day, we all have that. It's one of those things that we do, you know, like at a young age. It's just we lose our way as we get older. And again, we don't even consider things being creative when we are being creative, right? Like solving the problem, like you said, Frederick. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, it takes a creative approach to succeed. And I think really what we need to do sometimes, again, is be present in the now, know what's going on, and also know you as an individual. When is that time that you can get things done the best? Is it your morning person? Does it work late at night, middle of the day? And when is that time that you think, you know, like when you're designing something, right, Andrew? Like, when is that time for you to where all your creative juices get flowing? That's the time that works best for you to be that creator or that individual that, you know, that be the artist that. You might not think yourself as an artist because you might not be physically drawing on a piece of paper or painting, you know, this beautiful drawing or this picture that, you know, on this canvas, but you are, you know, formulating it to a degree. You're doing it in your business, right? Like designing something, you know, designing your website, a website page or whatever, writing something. It's just like all of that stuff is a part of creativity. And again, like we can't, your business won't succeed unless you go out and do it. Like, so that is being creative anyway, right? As an entrepreneur, you have to make things happen. And yes, you might be replicating or duplicating some processes that I've already put in place. So you're not recreating a wheel, but we're always trying to figure out the easiest way, the fastest way, the most efficient way. And so I really don't think we give ourselves enough credit, like Frederick brought up, to understand, like, we are being creative. We are creative beings, and we're artistic to a sense as well. So,
yeah, definitely. So, Frederick, tell us more about. You mentioned that you're launching an app. Can you tell us more about that? And what's the format going to be like? You know, checked out your website. It looks like, you know, it's going to be geared towards education and. You know, teaching people what you're teaching them in your books. What is that going to be like? Like, what's the format going to be?
Well, the app will launch next year. But I have been working a lot on the website. So a lot of the features that you're going to see on the app are available on the website this month. So what I wanted to do with the Creativity School is take an exploratory view of learning. So I didn't want it to be like a traditional, you know, I'm the instructor, you're the student kind of thing. I really wanted to explore different things. So I have these audio series where I explore different subjects. You know, I explore being an introvert. I explore creativity, explore money, because that's a big thing. And we just, you know, try to walk through these topics, try and, you know, take in different viewpoints and try and I view learning as an exploration and not like a, you know, find the right word. Yeah, not like information done. And yeah, more interactive type thing. So that's what I'm doing. And then I'm actually launching this new subscription, a virtual subscription box called the Idea Box. It'll be launching this week. And it has like a free game. So this first month will be free. And it has a free game. It's called Conversation. So we have like this prompts for like very fun conversation. So yeah, that's the creativity school in a nutshell. Okay.
That's very cool. Yeah, it'll be good to have to get all your, you know, digital resources in one place and really, and on your platform. And then if you can gamify it in any way, I think that's huge, you know. Even with just like asking questions, kind of like mini quizzes throughout the information. I've been learning some more about stocks and stock trading. And previously I really didn't have a lot of knowledge about it. So I opened a TD Ameritrade account and I started reading through some of their resources. And what's cool about it is that they walk you through, you know, it's most of it's written. So, you know, they, walk you through the process of different, you know, different topics, and they kind of teach you about it. They have a few videos sprinkled throughout to just, you know, like an expert talking about a particular topic. And then at the end of every section, they give you a little quiz. And it's kind of cool because it, you know, it's obviously like, doesn't matter how you score, right? Like nobody's doesn't affect your GPA or anything, luckily. But, you know, it helps you reinforce that knowledge, I think. So you can take it, you know, I mean, the idea is to just get 100% on it because you know it so well that you can just go through the questions, even if you have to do it a couple of times. But it's kind of a cool, interactive, real simple way to reinforce information, I think.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I will definitely... you know, try and incorporate quizzes or some more, definitely try and make it more interactive as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I like that you're already thinking about a game because that, you know, that's definitely the more interactive, the better, especially when you're reading something. Cause if you have something to kind of break it up a little bit for a lot of people, it just kind of sucks you in and you're like, all right, I'll read five paragraphs, but then I'll get a little video or I'll get a little quiz or there's some kind of like incentive to keep going and reinforce that knowledge, what you just learned. So,
and finding that balance, I mean, just like you said,
right.
I mean, I think that's another way to put it is basically just like, you know, having the written content, having the audio and visual content and just having something to where they can actually interact. That is, and I think that's why apps are so popular, right? You pull them up, you can touch, you can do all this stuff and you could do things. But I mean, not all of them are typically just straightforward and kind of simple in their task and what they do, but not everybody has that whole gamify approach to how they do things. And I think with technology, how it's advancing, I mean, we got to be forward thinkers, right? We got to try to push the envelope when it comes to any of this stuff to where it's like, well, how can I get a leg up on my competition? You know, how can I create this portion or this app that people are actually going to want to stay inside of, right? It's like the same thing with social media. I mean, you can do so much with social media, you know, now and all these different socials, they all have their different, you know, specific crowd or niche that they're after to a certain degree. But I mean, you can all in any business or whatever, you could take advantage of it. But I really think that, you know, if you take it, you take that approach, you gamify it, quizzes, whatever it is, man, it just makes it more appealing to, you know, the customer base in the now, like this day and age, not the customer base of old, right? As we continue to move forward. And so, yeah, man, I totally agree with both of you. I think thinking outside the box and just taking a strategic approach to find that balance, I think really will set an app just to another level with the consumer.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think that, you know, because we have so many apps and so many social media platforms at our disposal, I think, you know, we're in a constant state of information overload. And I also think, I don't know if what's the official name for this phenomenon, but we have like too many choices of something and you just kind of get overwhelmed. I don't know the scientific term, but we are constantly living in that state of just having too many choices and not knowing what to do and just, you know. And you know, we're also, people get bored really easily. So it's really a challenge to keep that attention and keep that engagement. So yeah, definitely. I think we all have to come up with creative ways to try and keep people engaged.
Yeah. And that's what it is the, because there's so much really competition out there. There's so many people, the barrier to entry is relatively low to get information out to the masses. So there's so many people, you know, competing for the consumer's attention that you really do have to do something special to get in front of them. You got to do something a little different, a little better. And the other thing too is to really know, to find a particular audience that is underserved and go at them and give them as much information as you possibly can, because then, you know, you might be sort of one of the first to help them with something, you know, and that they might not have had many other resources to that point. So I think that's another way. But all of that is like being creative, right? It's figuring out, all right, how do I position my business in a way that will connect with consumers and will be, you know, won't be too expensive to market, and, you know, we can keep the cost down and keep people coming back and sharing either the content or the product or whatever it is. So, yeah. So yeah, I definitely love what you're doing with the app.
Yeah, man. With that said, Frederick, through everyone's entrepreneurial journey, right? We all experience highs and lows, and sometimes it's like it's a roller coaster, right? I mean, in a lot of ways, it can be best described that, you know. When everything's going right, we love it. When everything's going wrong, we want to throw the towel in at some point in time. But I mean, through everything you've been through, to get where you are today, what has been the most difficult thing about being an entrepreneur? And how do you just continue to move forward?
Well, I think I definitely agree with the roller coaster aspect of, you know, entrepreneurship being a roller coaster. But I think sometimes things get really crazy where it's not even just like a roller coaster where you're kind of going up and down. I think it's one of those where it's like it's coiling around and it's throwing you up in the air, then it's like pulling you like underground, then you know, like those really crazy roller coasters.
Where you're flying like Superman or something, but they're all over the place. Yep.
All over the place.
Free fall, from a cliff, all the stuff you experience.
Yeah, it's like free falling, skydiving, bungee jumping,
everything,
parasailing, all at the same time. So I think the most difficult was the loneliness. And I think most people don't address how lonely it can become, because I also live in a part of the world where access to internet and access to digital kind of services are very limited. So for a lot of people, it was kind of like, what is it that you do again? You know, what is it that you do again? So I had very few people to kind of look to for help and for, you know, if I need direction. So it was lonely in the sense that I had to, even though I could, you know, my parents kind of give me like advice on certain things, but we do different things. So there's certain things, certain specific things that I would need like help on or advice. And it'd be very difficult for me to find someone to like reach out to. So yeah, I think the loneliness is a very difficult thing to deal with.
Yeah, definitely hear that. And that's cool that you brought that up, because not a lot of people do. I don't think anyone's mentioned that so far for that as an answer to that question, but I think it really is, it's very real, you know, that the loneliness of entrepreneurship, because, you know, a lot of people are kind of doing it themselves, but, you know, now you're a member of that Entrepreneur Life group. So, you know, the family here. And, so we can all kind of collaborate and bounce ideas off each other. And, you know, going forward, we want to do a lot more of that. So, and to kind of address that loneliness, so that there are, you know, you can connect with other people. Cause we all need that, you know, we all need that in entrepreneurship to bounce ideas off each other. Hey, what did you use for this or that? You know, what resource, how do you do this? Have you ever run into this, whatever it is? And so I think that's really cool, because it can be very daunting and overwhelming. And when it feels like you're the only one doing it, it's tough. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think we brought it up, on the last episode we had with Reese, man. It's one of those things that we're tribal beings, and when you feel alone, you know, man, it can be a dark place, and it could be a lonely place. And when you talk to people and they might not understand you because they're not going through it, you know, you really got to find your tribe of people that, you know, that you can connect with and relate to. And just, even if you're not in the same niche, it doesn't even matter. It's like, we're going through this entrepreneurial journey, you know, and you got to realize that you're not alone, right? And I think really sometimes it's hard for us to get past that, because we do feel like, okay, well, nobody understands me. And I've been there, right? And I understand that feeling. So it's one of those things to understand that we might not have been in your specific shoes, because everybody's shoes are different, right? What you're good at, I might be terrible at, right? And so, and what you've experienced, I can't even imagine, right? But then maybe I can, because of, I can relate, or I've been through a similar circumstance. And I really challenge anybody that's listening, and anybody that goes through those dark times of depression or loneliness, or thinking you're alone in entrepreneurship, you're not, man, you know, because so many people are trying to do it. So many people are trying to hustle, trying to figure it out. And man, when we get lost, we just need somebody we can reach out to or send a message to from time to time. And I really think finding your tribe, or finding your group of individuals, a mastermind group, or just a group of friends, or somebody that like start something up from this conversation, right, with Frederick. I mean, there's things that we can do and create a community of people that, you know, might feel alone, but you're not. And we can help you understand that, because again, like, I really think the people that have been through it or have felt that before will completely understand what you just said, Frederick. And I think it's powerful, man, to know and bring that topic up of loneliness. Or, you know, whether that loneliness sent anybody through a bout of depression, or loneliness sent them through a bout of just struggling. I mean, because people can battle through different things and approach things differently. And entrepreneurship, and like we said, and the reason we started this podcast, entrepreneurship isn't easy, but we wanted to bring people on. And this podcast is for entrepreneurs, by entrepreneurs, so people can understand we're trying to get entrepreneur stories out there, you know, entrepreneurial stories of people that have that entrepreneur spirit, that are doing things now, that are already been in the entrepreneur game, and that it's like we all have similar stories to saying, hey, we struggled with this. When we reached that peak, we're not done. The game's not over. You got to keep going. And so loneliness is a big topic, and something that we'd definitely love to continue the conversation on. So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Frederick, as we wrap up this episode, if you could give our audience just one piece of advice, what would that be about entrepreneurship?
Well, I would say several things, but I think the main thing I would say is, I'll say three things in one statement. I would say
it can be a couple things. That's cool. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say, I'll just say three things. The first thing is, I think, you know, do things with integrity. Do things, because I think, you know, social media, we live in a world where it's very easy to fake, you know, a certain lifestyle. It's very easy to fake success and the cars, this and that, you know. But there's a lot of, how do I put this? There's a lot of, you know, fakeness, you know, kind of going on in the world and lack of substance. So, and that is not to say, like, you know, having integrity and doing things with integrity is easy. It's definitely not. It will be looked at as uncool. But I think in the long run, you know, what's real cannot be threatened. So when you have integrity and when you're coming from a place of substance, you eventually are going to be here for the long term. So that's number one. Number two, I would say be truthful, be honest. You know, if you have struggles, just say that you have struggles. I think oftentimes it's like, oh, if I admit you're struggling, then, you know, you're whack and people are going to make fun of you and it's all the, but, you know, when you admit and when you truthfully find that you are not alone, it's easier for you to find help. It's easier for you to get past this difficult situation that you're in when you're truthful. And yeah, I was going to say a third thing, but I think those two are, have integrity and be truthful.
Yeah. That's super helpful. Definitely. Yeah. It's important with all the, like you said, with all the fakeness out there, it's hard to know what's real, what's right, what's actually doable. And if you're just true to yourself and what you know how to do, you just keep going, and that'll eventually you'll find success, you know, if you just stick with it. So yeah, I love that.
Sure. Well, guys, I think it's a wrap for this episode. From the both of us, Frederick, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your day, man, to join us and adding value to what we're doing on our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Frederick, so much for being on the show. Guys, thank you so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Frederick is working on, check out his website. We're going to put that in the notes, so you can check it out there. If you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any other major podcast directory. You can also find us on all the socials and on our website at thatentrepreneurlife.com.
And with that said, we also want to quickly give a special shout out to our family, friends, to include all of our listeners, followers, and subscribers. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.